your business becomes like your fourth child.
It's your next child, yeah.
It really is. I mean, every day it's what's happening with work, what are the numbers, how is so-and-so doing? Yeah.
All right, so today you're going to love our episode with Charles and Daryl Catherine. They own a business in the panhandle of Alabama, not the panhandle of Florida, where they do all the linens and different things for all these different short-term rental companies and hotels and places like that. It's called Liberty Linens. They also have helped operate a uniform store. So what we do is we go through their story of how they grew up. Both of them grew up in business owner homes. One mom owned a stationery company, and then one dad owned a construction company. And then one dad, it sounds like, who I can't wait to have on the episode, is salesman number one, and they've started out selling uniforms all over the country. You are going to love this episode with Charles and Daryl Catherine. All right, thank you so much for joining us today. Today, I have Charles and Daryl Catherine Campbell, and they are from South Alabama, Orange Beach area, and they've got a wonderful story. So the first question I always ask is, who are you, what do you do, and why does it matter? So I don't care who answers.
Okay.
So one of you two, just go ahead. Tell me who you guys are.
You can go first.
Well, I'm Charles Campbell.
Yep.
Originally born in Birmingham. Lived there most of my life, and then moved around a bit, mainly for dad's work. Mm-hmm. He sold his father. It was a uniform rental service company.
Okay.
Sold it. We moved to Orange Beach, Alabama, where they had always had a vacation home. Lived there full time. Dad started a new business, which has kind of developed over the years. And early 90s, we had like 3 hurricanes in 3 years. So my mom was like, I'm out.
No, we can
leave the business here, but we're going. So we went to Chattanooga and then back to Birmingham. And that's where I lived the most of my life, met her. And then we've moved down to Orange Beach twice now.
Twice.
So.
Yeah.
Perfect. What about you?
I am from Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Briarwood, graduated from Briarwood. My parents both had businesses growing up. My mom had a stationery company. And
did not know that.
Yes. So she was new to Birmingham when my parents moved here after college. And she and a friend decided to start a stationery business. Hmm. They grew it to a huge, I mean, you couldn't walk into a stationery shop and it not be sold there.
Wow.
Sweet Pea Designs.
And, I've heard of them.
Oh, yeah. So she did that for like 30 years.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yep. Got to go to, so all growing up, she would go to New York for market. We'd hear these fabulous stories. And then I guess in my 20s, I got to go do that with her and it was awesome. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of fun. So, and then my dad has a construction company.
Who?
Commercial construction.
Who?
Yeah.
By the way, has renovated this whole building that we're sitting in.
Mm-hmm.
So we are shooting this on the campus of Highlands College here in Birmingham. And Johnson Creese Construction is who was contracted to do all the construction. And the guys at Johnson Creese, I've met your dad before just in passing, check his hand. Hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. But then Wes, who is one of the head
Wes
guys.
Wes is awesome.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
And then Lanny. I don't know if you know Lanny.
I don't know Lanny.
He's incredible.
Okay.
Him and Wes.
That's good to hear. Yeah.
And then Lanny's son. So the crew at Johnson Creese has done a wonderful job.
They
are so
awesome.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And so then that's the company that her dad owns here in Birmingham.
They have a good culture over there.
They do. Yeah. So, okay. So Birmingham people.
Yep.
Tell me about, let's go back the business part of it. So you had a really interesting story about college that I want to make sure that we get to here in a second. But the thing is, I know these guys a pretty decent amount, a little bit, know about their business. So I'm going to ask these questions. Some of the answers I know, some of these I don't know. So let's go back to, you said uniform rental business. That's the original business that your granddad owned. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's kind of like Cintas, Aramark, UniFirst. They'd sell, or they would rent the uniforms to Express Oil Change or a car manufacturer and weekly pick up, wash, bring back.
And they sold that?
They did.
Okay. Now, what is the business that your dad owns now?
So it is one corporation called At Work Sales Corporation.
Okay.
And we kind of do business as two different names. One is At Work Uniforms, uniform sales nationwide to casinos, hotels, resorts, restaurants, trucking companies.
Screen if you can print,
put a t-shirts. Yeah, if you can put a logo on it, we can get it.
So it's not rental.
No, just wholesale. The company he sold to was a huge national company, fired both he and his brother on his birthday, and then ran the company into the ground. So he's like, I'll never rent anything again. I'm going to just sell stuff.
Perfect.
So he did that. And actually, he started with exporting USA-made textiles to Europe.
You don't hear that.
Yeah. He, well
he's
not
done
now.
A what study abroad in Holland.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What were they exporting?
Just flat rolls of fabric.
Oh, so they were making it here, made in the USA, just regular fabric, and they were shipping it to
Holland, Europe, Germany, wherever over there. He's got a bunch of buddies that he's still friends with over there. So he started that way and then moved to Orange Beach. And, of course, vacation town down there was really, really minimal.
Yeah.
As he said, you know, there used to just be sand over here.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Now the Phoenix is on everything.
Everything.
That's true. And
okay, so backstory, if nobody knows, Orange Beach is a absolutely beautiful beach town in Alabama.
Yes.
In Alabama.
It's amazing how many people will say, how are y'all enjoying Florida? And I'm like, you live in Alabama.
We live in Alabama.
Orange Beach is part of us.
Orange Beach. Let me say this, okay? Branding. Orange Beach has the best logo.
They do
ever.
Have a good logo.
And it's like new. It's like the last 5 or 10 years old.
Yeah.
It's the best logo ever. Orange Beach in Alabama, Orange Beach Gulf Shores are the two main beaches. Mm-hmm. And they butt right up next to each other. And it's a wonderful place to go. But the Phoenixes are these high rises that there's 100 of them.
I mean, the Roman numerals are never ending.
They never
end.
But they're great places.
Yeah.
And they range from super old to really, really new, but they're incredible places. So I'm sorry, we got sidetracked. So you guys living in a beach town, your dad owns the uniform sales portion.
So, well, it started as the exporting textiles, and then we started selling flat goods, so sheets and towels, table napery, to the vacation area, kind of along the coast. The season was very short back then. Now, it seems like the summer season, vacation season spans almost the whole year, but it was like, you know, June to August, and then it just stopped. So,
really?
They were selling sheets and towels to all the vacation companies, housekeeping companies down there. And then the phone stopped ringing. It's like, you know, dang, we got to figure out something else to sell. And so I think all the Mississippi casino boats had started opening at that time. He goes over there. Hey, we want to sell these sheets and towels to you. They say, yeah, that's fine. But we need like 500 polos. And Dad was like, oh, yeah, I just forgot
we
that catalog.
Those. We got those.
We can do that.
So he figured out polos, T-shirts.
Do you do this? Absolutely.
It is very much a Campbell motto. Like, we can figure
can
that out.
We got that.
Yeah.
Okay, so how old are you at the time when this is going on?
So I was born in 87.
Okay.
We moved down there, and he really started the company in 92.
Oh, wow. So you're young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Living that beach life.
That's right.
Yes.
In a way.
Riding jet skis at like 7 or whatever.
So they're selling textiles, and then Mississippi gamblers call and say, we need polos.
Yeah.
And your dad's like, absolutely, we kill that.
Yeah.
And so he starts, that's where the uniform business.
That's where, and both businesses kind of grew, but the apparel side grew a lot quicker because people started moving around. We got into hotels. We started doing, again, if there's a restaurant, trucking company, if you can put a logo on it, like I said earlier, we can do it. So that side's become more nationwide.
So there's a rabbit trail that I really want to go down, and I don't know if we have time to do it. But, like, talk about you may not remember this. What was his sales process for doing this with, like, whether it be Mississippi or, like you said, restaurants, trucking companies, and, I mean, anything, hotel, like, it's unlimited.
Yeah.
Like, what was the sales process like?
You know, casinos was probably the biggest draw. Because of the amount of employees and then employee turnover. If they're churning through employees, you're churning through uniforms.
Yep.
So it was kind of, we started to...
And it's a niche.
Very.
Yeah. Because they're custom, and so not everybody's going in there to sell them.
Some of them
uniforms.
Are just regular polos, T-shirts, things like this, but then we do a lot of custom-made apparel as well. But, you know, our name started getting around, and we focused on areas where there's a lot of kind of entertainment, a lot of travel, not necessarily vacation. But so that business kind of started growing throughout the U.S. while Liberty Linen, which is the vacation rental supply, stayed more local in the Gulf Coast and the Panhandle.
All right. So you forgive my straightforwardness. You didn't answer my question.
How did he sell? How did he sell? Like physically, yeah. How did he sell uniform? So the one company calls about the yeah. the polos. Yeah. Well, then how did he get to the next casino or the next hotel?
He traveled. I mean, he traveled Monday through Friday. Yeah.
He was in the car.
He was on the road.
Hey.
Yeah.
What's his name? What's your dad's name?
Chuck.
Hey. Oh, that's perfect. Uh-huh. Hey, I'm Chuck.
Yeah. He's a great salesman.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And Bob Vino is... Hold on.
That's a great name.
So Bob Vino is from like the 60s, and it was sales tapes, which we had
how to be
cassette
a salesman.
Tapes until a couple of years ago. I finally turned them into MP3, but
he would make every salesperson listen to Bob Vino.
Still. No way.
There will be a quiz at the
end. Have you listened to them?
I have.
Are they great?
There's a lot of good things like...
Charles could teach it.
One of the best things... Well, not all of it. One of the best things is, you know, if you're calling a business, you want their business, the first thing to do is say, hey, this Charles won't take a moment to explain why I'm calling. Is it convenient to speak? It kind of, as Dad says, takes the curse off the call, or as Bob Vino said, instead of, hey, let me roll into my sales pitch, you're, hey... Is it convenient? If not, great. Can I call you back tomorrow? Or a lot of times that kind of disables the person. They're like, yeah, I got a minute. What's up?
Yeah.
So well,
also, he's the king of the cold call. There is not a business Chuck. I mean, because it's the, we can do that. He walks in. He kind of looks around. He notices if they've got floor mats or if they've got uniforms. And it's like, let me talk to you about this and what you could buy from
about your floor mats.
Yeah.
Or your uniforms.
And he has so many success stories of like, we just made a $250,000 sales on a cold call.
So we need to have him on here.
Oh, he'd be good. Him and my mother.
He is an encyclopedia. Yeah. This might be two different podcasts, but yeah.
Let's figure out a way to get Chuck on here.
Oh, yeah.
That's perfect.
He'd love it.
Okay, so at work uniforms, your dad's hustling. He's in the car going to everywhere, here, there, and yonder, and also word of mouth.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's a... That's a niche community in itself.
Well, and he's got salespeople.
Oh.
Yeah, started to slowly build the sales team.
See, these are, like, I have a whole hour of questions about how he did that and, like, what the structure is and, like, what's the commission like? And what does he pay? And
we
all,
still,
I mean, like, all that kind of stuff. How many employees does he have right now?
Total in the corporation is 51.
Holy crap, this is bigger than I thought. Like, I knew the answers to a lot of these, but I didn't know that. 51? How many of those are salespeople?
On the uniform side, 12. So.
And they're national.
Mm-hmm. From California, Vegas, Oklahoma, Florida. Alabama, a couple in Florida, Indiana.
So they're kind of big fish. They're more big fish. They go after the big units. They don't go after the hotel.
They're where those big customer bases are so that they can be in person. So.
That's incredible. Okay, so we've got at work uniforms, and then we've got Liberty Linen. Tell me about Liberty Linen.
Yeah.
tell me about Liberty Linen. You can keep that in there. Tell me about that.
It's a vacation rental and housekeeping supply company. So anything that would go into a rental unit or be used to clean it, we sell. So sheets, towels, amenities, all the janitorial products, the chemicals.
Small appliances.
What do you mean, small appliances?
Like toasters, microwaves, coffee makers.
You got toasters and microwaves in the warehouse?
We do, yeah.
Vacuum cleaners.
Yep, vacuum cleaners, matting.
So this sounds to me like Airbnb. Like, is Airbnb? Did Airbnb catapult your business? I know the short-term rental business has been around forever, and I hate saying Airbnb because it's not Airbnb. It's short-term rental.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Band-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a Band-Aid. It's a bandage.
Yes.
It's not a crock pot. It's a slow cooker. Yeah. But the brand Airbnb, the brand Band-Aid, the brand crock pot is what you know. Well, you know Airbnb. How are you going to Airbnb it?
Yeah.
No. I'm going to short-term rent it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want people going to Airbnb to get Walcox Point, for example.
Yeah.
I want them to go to walcoxpoint.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ding.
That's what direct rental.
Yeah, direct rental. So that's what I want. But like, did Airbnb and the rise of that catapult Liberty Linen? Or was Liberty, was Liberty Linen around a lot longer before that?
Yeah.
Before, but, so the Airbnb market is very... I own one property or maybe two or three. You know, some people own a lot. But we sell in dozens of the sheets and towels or case packs, so it doesn't make sense for them to buy 12 king sheets when they have one king bed. or two king beds. So sure. we sell to the management companies or the housekeeping cleaning companies that clean for 10, 20, 200, 500, 1,000, 2,000 properties.
Okay, so we're not selling to Susie that's got an Airbnb at the beach, one condo at the beach.
We've considered it, like taking and breaking it down, like here's a flat and fitted king sheet, we'll sell you a set, but there's just not enough, we haven't seen enough demand through us. There are different companies that are kind of like us that will break it down for the Airbnbs.
We just bought off Amazon, and we have one short-term rental.
And that's what a lot of people do. Like, if I'm at our local Target, I'll see people with tons of white towels and tons of white sheets, and you know, like, oh, they're going to stock there, you know.
Well, I have one sister-in-law that is a coupon girl.
Yeah.
Okay? She's wonderful. But she loves it. So it's not like it's drudge for her. She enjoys it. She's like, I got this for 17 cents. And like the gift, my daughter turned 8 2 days ago. And the gift that they gave her, she went downstairs and got it off the shelf in her garage because she's got just stuff that she's bought for 17 cents and 36 cents.
It'll come in handy.
And it comes in handy. Yeah. But we went to Kohl's.
Yeah.
And we have like 12 bags of white towels, white washcloths, white sheets that we got there for 70% off.
Yeah.
And so things like that.
We've got a lot. Yeah. It's funny. There's one lady. She's got like 800 properties in Panama City.
How many?
800.
One lady.
She doesn't own them. She manages all the
rentals. Okay, yeah.
A lot of the management companies, they don't own any of the properties. They're just like, hey, owner, give us your property. We'll take care of everything. You just sit back and make mailbox money.
Yeah.
But she buys all of her towels at Kohl's.
Really?
It's hilarious. She loves that towel.
800 units, and she buys them all at Kohl's. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well. All right, so tell me about Liberty Linen and what you guys do in the business.
So
who owns Liberty Linen? So we've got At Work Uniform and we got Liberty Linen. They're like, what is it?
It's one corporation.
Okay.
We're just doing business.
DBA.
Yeah, DBAs. As of right now, my parents own the corporation.
Okay.
So, but after, Lord willing, after the first, my wife and I will be the owners of Liberty Linen. We're going to break it out
and put
it into its own LLC.
Perfect. And that's what the three of us have talked about, these things and the legalities and the logistics of it.
We need to pick your brain about it.
Yeah. So, okay. So what do you do day to day in that, both of you? You go first. What do you do day to day?
I am a paper pusher on the uniform side of things. Since we do business in 38 states, and we do a lot of work with casinos and tribal entities. There's a lot of paperwork to make sure that we're not laundering money.
Tribal. Okay, let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
Tribal entities.
Uh-huh. If you've filled out a lot of forms for it, you're, I guess, familiar with the lingo.
Yeah.
Tribal entities. So you can't say Indians.
Oh.
No, there's. You can say Indians.
You can't.
Indian gaming. Yeah.
It's
on some paperwork, but every tribe is different.
So okay.
Yeah.
20 years ago, you would have said Indians.
Well. Yeah.
So you fill out. So you do the uniform side or the Liberty Linen side?
I'm on the uniform side now. I really took that over from his mom. She's done it a long time, and that was filling out all these forms, and she was kind of. Most of that off to somebody else.
Okay, so, but you're operating Liberty Linen.
I operate both right now.
Okay.
I run all the inner office, HR, management, corporate things, legal things. I kind of have.
He wears a lot of hats.
I do. I kind of hate to keep going over the story, but I guess it's relatively new for them. So, we had a comptroller that was with us for like 27 years.
What is a comptroller? You just dropped that word comptroller.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So she,
I don't know what that means.
Oh.
Yeah, I probably don't have a solid definition, but she kind of does all those. She's that one person that knows everything in the business.
Sure. Everything
and
flows
when you ask for something,
office.
She's able to give it to you. Yep. She handled a lot of the payroll, operations, HR, hiring, firing, system changes, what you're using for order entry, whatever.
Not an owner, but...
Kind of like an operator.
Was delegated through your folks. I got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
she was there for how long? 27 years?
I think so.
Wow. Okay.
And then it was kind of time for her to go. And so we trained a replacement for about a year. She was with us for about a year. And then COVID hits. And about a month later, we kind of opened back up because Alabama's beaches opened before Florida. So Liberty Linen was able to start selling again. The uniform side took a hit for a long time.
But that month of April was nuts.
Yeah, it was for Liberty Lending. It was weird.
Like
for
in
everybody.
A good way.
Yes.
Why in a good way?
Because our beaches
it
were
went
open.
On
so
fire.
Like everybody that had never been to Orange Beach, but
we had a
was
whole
ready to go on
new
spring
slew
break.
Of traffic. Yeah. Everybody who'd normally go to Florida.
That's capacity
right.
was at like 100%.
That's right. Because
I was
remember.
Crazy.
Y'all, COVID seems like it was so long ago.
Yeah.
I remember where there was something with not being able to rent. And we had to go to somewhere in Alabama that year.
KIV opened our beaches first.
That's right.
And so our best friends were supposed to go to 30A. That trip got canceled. Yeah. They ended up going to Dauphin Island instead. That's where they go back
every
trip now. They love it.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Okay, so you're operating in the comptroller's there for a year. You hire somebody, 27 years, you hire somebody new. Where did it go from there?
COVID hits. We're open for about a month. And then the replacement just vanishes. So it's kind of like...
Did she die?
No. She just quit and then left. And so it was like, you know, oh, crap. What? I don't know what to do. I guess we're going to just start getting letters of, hey, you forgot to do this, pay this. And so over a year and a half, 2 years, I kind of just... there was nobody else to step up and do it. So I just kind of jumped in. All right, let's take one thing at a time.
What were you doing before that?
Mainly sales.
Okay.
I always kind of did a little something
else. You were cutting dead weight out of... Like, he was noticing how much we were paying on credit card processing fees and kind of where waste was going and cutting that back. But
you're a detail guy,
man. Had to get your arms around
everything.
I like
the details, yeah. And I like making something streamlined, working really well, and I'm not having to handhold it or all these exceptions. Oh, remember to do this. Hey, when that happens, you got to do this. Just... No, one way.
You're speaking Luke's language over there. That is Luke's. Luke's love language over there. So, okay, so you start learning the comptroller role or the ins and the outs, really just the operator of both businesses.
Yeah.
So when you said 51 employees, you meant 51 employees with At Work Uniform and Liberty Linen.
Yes.
Okay. How many salespeople do you guys have with Liberty Linen?
I think it's five.
Okay.
Five or six.
Tell me what they do. I'm sorry for the random questions,
but I love this.
Like, this is the world I love.
So the sales role is really different on either side because on the uniform side, you're the only rep in that area. So that's your customer base. It's yours. You've got an inside support.
Oklahoma. I got Oklahoma.
Yeah.
All the casinos, all the so-and-sos. Yeah. That's my deal.
And then you've got a POC in the office who helps you process orders and at Orange Beach. So the in-house people work in our office in Orange Beach.
Yeah. So, but on the Liberty Linen side, and it's mostly been really between Mobile, Alabama and Pensacola, Florida. That's been our customer base for, 30 years. Mm-hmm. But now because of the vacation rental industry, people moving around, we've shipped product to Oregon, Maine, Scottsdale, Miami, wherever.
Okay.
Most of our business, though, is Alabama and growing into the Destin, Panama City market.
We talked about that last time.
It's like Orange Beach on steroids.
Yeah.
But we all kind of share the accounts. It's not like, hey, you're just that person on that account. Because it's really still a family community down there. And our customers have been customers for 30 years.
When you say accounts, give me an example of an account.
So
name one of them if you can.
Turquoise. Place, the Carib, the Towers.
Yeah, the Carib. I know the Carib. I've stayed there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Liquid Life. Meyer was a huge company down there. They had 1,800 rentals, but they sold to Vacasa, which is big.
Vacasa's eating up
kind
everything.
Of the world's largest online vacation rental management platform.
Okay.
Now,
because
they bought
Resort Quest how many years ago?
Yeah, Wyndham Resort Quest. That rolled over a couple of times, and they bought Wyndham.
So Vacasa is like just gobbling up everybody.
Uh-huh. It is.
Is that good? Is it good, though?
It's good for us, and it's good for those markets. Because they'll buy it, and then, I hate to say for them, people scatter. Because they don't like Vacasa. It doesn't seem like they really know how to run vacation rental. At least, sorry.
Leave it in there.
I mean, I'm ask anybody.
Exactly.
But people scatter, and then they start their own companies. And so
some people want to be with a smaller rental company too. They don't want to be one of 10,000.
I like talking to a human.
Yeah.
Like there's a guy in Panama City that we rent from, and I can't remember his name because Joy deals with him, and he's got a bunch of like big houses.
Yeah.
Like 18, 20 people,
Yeah.
And I can't remember his name, but it's down on the St. Thomas or Thomas Drive side.
Okay.
If you probably said his name, I would probably recognize it. But we talked to that dude.
Yeah.
He owns like 70-something houses.
And if there's a problem, he's going to get to the phone. We talked to that guy.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
It's like when someone comes to Walcox Point, it's Joy or myself answering the message.
Yep.
And now that's part of the reason why I don't love short-term rental, owning it. But like it, I do. I like dealing with the person. And Luke's got a great story. Luke, more we'll talk about Luke more this episode than we have anything. Luke's got a great story about how he stayed at a place in Georgia, and the people, it was like these treehouse type things.
Yeah.
He was mesmerized. But he talked about it for 4 days. But the owners lived on the property.
Yes.
And they hung out with him.
Yep.
And that made his experience.
That's pretty cool.
And it's put a passion in him to do, not even, I don't necessarily do something like that, but like.
It's
that,
hospitality.
It
though.
Is.
Yeah.
And it, he's got a hospitality heart. And I keep pointing to like people that can see him. He's back there. But I do. I agree with you.
Yeah.
When someone big takes over, them scattering, that is good for y'all.
Yeah. And they kind of don't get our market. Like, and not to prolong the discussion of them, but like that when they also bought a company down there called Kaiser. That non-compete's run out, and the Kaiser brothers have already started back up again. But they had a big vacation rental hold, and I remember talking to the manager of the operation, the laundry operation. He's like, Vacasa just doesn't get it. We don't have enough employees. And they call him and say, because I think they're based in Oregon, they're like, hey, Mobile looks like a really big city near you. Why don't you just hire a bunch of people from Mobile? Well, at what we're paying, they're probably not going to drive an hour down.
Yeah.
There's nowhere nearby that they can afford to live. They just don't
County
get
has
it.
An infrastructure problem. We're the fastest growing county in the state.
Yeah. It's and getting better.
It is getting better, but affordable housing is a big issue. So there are D.R. Horton neighborhoods. I feel like they're going up every week.
Really?
Real quick.
Yeah.
Just because those are affordable.
They're affordable. And apartment complexes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot, I think, in the future for Baldwin County. Baymanette's been one of the northern towns in the county that's like flat growth for the past 10 years. But now there's a new, I think it's up to like $3 billion investment by an aluminum recycling producing company.
And it's going to bring a lot of jobs and more people. And
ton
all
of economic
stuff.
Development.
Novellis?
Novellis.
So you guys are down there. You've got Liberty Linen. What is, so you're being the comptroller part. You're more pushing paper part.
Mm-hmm.
As you transition into DK and Charles owning Liberty Linen, what is the transition going to look like with you, mainly you? I'm talking to you.
Oh, me.
Because you're not going to own Liberty Linen and still do at work. What's it going to look like
for
you?
I think I will continue to do, I mean, because it truly, both sides of the business are family-run businesses.
Sure.
I mean, Charles has gotten his arms around so much for his parents that he could not step back from that now.
Trying to work myself out of the job, but it's hard.
That's great.
Yeah, good luck. But, I mean, Liberty Linen is something that I think at home we kind of obsess over and talk about.
Yeah.
And so I'm not there, but I don't know. It's
people will now know that all the commands come from her legally.
Exactly.
No. But you talked about it. Your business becomes like your fourth child.
It's your next child, yeah.
It really is. I mean, every day it's what's happening with work, what are the numbers, how is so-and-so doing. Yeah.
How do you grow when you guys take over and own Liberty Linen? What's your next? What's your step to grow or to progress? What's your thought as being the – not that you're not the boss because you're running the thing, but like – you're going to have more
freedom.
Say, more freedom.
Yeah.
What is the first 90 days look like?
So we've actually already got something in the works. And that was one thing I talked to you about the second time was there's a company in Florida that's very similar. Mm-hmm. They mainly sell sheets and towels and a handful of other things. It's a much smaller product offering, mm-hmm. but it's mostly through their website, mostly credit card sales. All of it drop ship. So it's like a super easy model. And it's been run by a lady and her father, originally from Boston, came down, went to St. Augustine and still operate the website and communicate. But she's never been able to just let loose and be full sales. She's always had to do a lot of the back of house stuff. We've already gotten that in place.
What is back of house stuff in that business? Because that sounds like just e-com.
So, well, I mean, we still have to process the orders. So the website, their current website just takes in the orders. Then she's got to put together the purchase order, send it to the vendor, receive the bill, you know, do the accounting side of it. Everything after customer says, hey, I want that, order it. You know, she would still handle all that. So we're going to take that off her plate and allow her to just run wild on her customer base, which I know
the sales part of it.
Correct. Yeah.
So you're going to take off across, take over the back end of it when Susie orders from Omaha. You're going to, when she puts pays, you're going to take it, process the order, make sure it gets sent to Susie in Omaha.
Yeah.
But there's no warehouse.
Not for her orders, no. It's all drop ship, which is more like the uniform side of the business, which is pretty nice, easy, clean.
Well, so, I mean, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah. But and she's got.
Their sales are.
One on average about 1.2 million, and I mean she'll double that in a year or two. So
why don't you take that over?
Why don't I take that over?
Why don't you take that over and let him continue to grow Liberty Linen?
Well, that will be brought into Liberty Linen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will you absorb that part of the business at all? Because I mean you're doing a lot of uniform stuff right now. It sounds like.
Well, I don't really do anything with uniforms.
Okay.
I just do stuff with making sure that like. So we'll get a notification that our, what's it called? I'm drawing a blank on.
Vendor renewal license.
Our license is about to expire. So then I'll have to go through and fill out all this paperwork. Like
sometimes it's a page, sometimes it's 30 pages.
Yeah, making sure that the owners haven't committed any felonies. Just keeping sure all of our information up to date.
Yeah. It's a big, that's one reason that's good business for at work is because it's a big barrier to entry. A lot of companies, smaller companies, see that pack of paperwork, the vendor pack, and they're like, I'm not filling that out. I'm not doing that. So, or divulging that personal information.
All that information. So, that's the problem. You need a VA.
What?
Virtual assistant.
You need a VA. So we just hired a girl from Bosnia.
Didn't you hire?
We're playing with it right now, yeah.
Okay.
For cold calling.
So the girl that we hired from Bosnia, Tanya, she's wonderful. And while this episode airs, you'll hear this. She's great. English is wonderful.
Okay.
Like very, very, I mean, you can slightly hear the accent.
Yeah.
But for the most part, she just sounds like she's been living in the United States for I don't know how long. But the company that we used to hire her is called JobRack. And I got their name from Ashley Robinson, who was on an episode not too many weeks ago. And Ashley owns a marketing company that does marketing for just law firms. You will love this episode. You haven't heard it yet, but it's wonderful. It's a wonderful episode. But we hired them, and it was a great process. It cost.
Yeah.
It cost me like $2,000. I think their prices went up
at
the beginning of the year. But it's a wonderful process.
Yeah.
It was so good. So I'm sorry, but just business thought of all the paperwork and things like that.
Yeah.
That would be something good. All right. So as we transition into this, what will you let go of, and what will you do more of as this transition goes?
I think it'll just be more of do more of, because
I don't think we're quite at the point of letting go of anything yet.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of turnover right now, so trying to fill more inside CSR roles on the uniform side.
CSR?
Customer service rep.
Okay.
Yeah. Inside sales support, that type of thing. So kind of right now trying to make sure that's good. My customer service director has everything she needs, the people in place. But just kind of continue doing what I'm doing. I brought down a guy from Birmingham. His wife's family was from Orange Beach area. Her parents still live there. Met him, actually, the wife is good friends with Daryl Catherine's sister. Mm-hmm. Met with him, brought him down, and he's now my sales manager on the Liberty Linen side and doing a phenomenal job.
Fabulous.
Michael.
Yeah, he's just what Charles has needed. And it couldn't have come at a better time.
Yeah, he'll just pick up the ball and run without me asking.
Does he have any equity? Will he have any equity?
That's a great question. That's something that we are talking about, because they will be in Orange Beach forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our plan has always been to replicate the Liberty Linen model at the next spot and go there.
Yeah. We talked about Destin at one point. I don't know if that's
I think we're looking
okay to talk
past
about now.
Yeah. Destin.
Yeah, maybe. Well, Destin would still be nice. But yeah, continuing more into Florida, just where vacation.
Yeah. So when you got Destin and you transition into like Panama City and then
yeah. I don't even know, there's a big nothing until you start.
Until like you curve down to Tampa.
Mexico. Oh, okay. So yeah, I got you.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the equity, because this is something that I deal with.
Yeah.
With one of our businesses is, do you give equity or do you give profit share? Because equity is you're kind of getting them and you're holding them into your company, but you're also giving up something. Profit share is really similar, but at the back end of it, you're not selling the thing.
Yeah. See, I like, and this is probably more from like a fear mindset, but well, both of our parents, I mean, 2008 was tough times. I mean, my dad, I mean, we were both in college. We watched both of our parents go through like an extremely lean, tighten everything down time. It kind of makes me nervous that we could be, it doesn't make me nervous to think that we could be going through that. It makes me nervous to think that we could be bringing somebody else into that.
Sure.
And you don't really know personalities until you kind of walk through the fire together.
You don't. You're right.
So I think profit share, I'm comfortable with that.
And we talked about that a little bit. And I think my initial is profit share, but I think as the years progress and our relationship progresses and I see him really do what I think he's going to do, you know, I would be open to it.
What is the hardest part about what you do? Your job. Part? The job part.
I don't think there is a hard part about what I do.
How much do you work? Give me an hours.
Okay, hours. Well, I homeschool and I paint. And so that takes up a pretty large amount of my time. The paperwork side doesn't take up that much of my time, but the paperwork side is all very sensitive information. So that would probably not be something I would ever pass off to anybody else.
I mean, short of like a vial of blood, a lot of the tribal casinos could reproduce our parents.
I'm like collecting fingerprints from his parents and banking information and all kinds of sensitive information. So that'll probably be something I always do. And it really doesn't take very much time.
So how much do you work?
I don't know how to answer that.
Like 2 hours a week or like 40 hours a week?
Oh, no, not 40 hours a week.
So. Give me a number, DK. Give me a number.
I don't know. I mean, are we just talking on the at work side of things? Maybe like an hour. 2 hours a week?
Holy crap.
And it depends, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because like, all of these things are due at a different time. Yeah, so if all of a sudden I get a packet from Arizona that's got to be done, or Louisiana. Louisiana has had such a bad history of
fraud
and money laundering. And so even if you're like, listen, I have nothing to do with the gaming industry. I'm just supplying your uniforms. They have to go through every single thing to make sure that your business is legal. So those packets do take a long time. And then getting them there in a timely manner, because if our license expires and that casino wants to place an order with us, well, they can't if our license is expired. So
it varies.
It varies.
What is the hardest part about your job?
Would you say the HR part has become a hard part, or is that...
HR is very tricky, especially in the current climate. You can say or do something wrong, and the employee can hold you over a barrel, you know, or it just... the perception of...
And you didn't know you said something wrong.
Yeah. So, luckily, we found a lady, give her a shout-out, Gia Wiggins with Morale Resources in Fairhope, Alabama. Awesome lady.
She's fabulous.
Love her. She... probably doesn't charge me enough. Edit that out. No.
Yeah.
But she, I can call her or text her, hey, this happened, what should I do? And she kind of gives you exactly what needs.
She's a consultant.
She is, yeah. And she kind of helped rearrange, did our employee handbook, a lot of different employee files, because there's a lot about the paperwork and pertinent information. So
Rockin' Brittany Sandretto on probably the best salon in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And they talk about how when they hired a consultant that had done it forever, and then Julie up in Tennessee owns a salon, and I'm just using salons as an example. They hired a consultant, made all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
And you're saying that the money that you're paying this human is worth it because she just helps you deal with things that you don't know the answers to.
No, because the common sense response of like, oh, well, they did this, so we're going to do this. No, she's like, whatever you do, don't do that.
Whatever you do, don't do what you think you want to do.
Yeah.
She's had some of the funkiest stories that you're like, wow. What?
People do what?
Yeah.
Do what?
So.
From a family's perspective, what's the hardest part about what y'all do? Like job, family, what where's the strain there?
Time.
Yeah, time. Mine would be trying to cut off, and you said something really good the other day, which I've taken to it, and you'll notice I'm not wearing a watch, so I'm not distracted.
I hate an Apple Watch.
He got me one for Christmas last year. I resisted it for so long, but I do like that it tracks my
activity stuff.
Yeah. That is a cop-out.
Well,
who gives two flying craps?
Well, I'll tell you why. In the mornings, it is my only alone time during the day, and I can look at it, and if I haven't hit my 2 miles yet, and the kids are like, Mom, we want, not yet, I'm not done. But when I hit two, I'm done.
Gotcha. Here's why I hate an Apple Apple Watch. It's because an Apple Watch is like a phone.
Yes.
So I heard Andy Stanley say this. When we're talking and the phone dings and you pick up your phone, I'm telling you that the person that I don't know who that is is more important than you.
Yeah.
And people think that you're being slick these days because they look at their watch.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've looked at my watch 3 times since we started, but y'all have really not noticed. But all I've done is just did like that. Uh-huh. What happens these days is someone looks at their watch because it's a text message.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you the same thing. I know when you're looking at a text.
Yeah.
My favorite is when he does this.
They do this number. Is that
there's a new thing where you can tap your fingers or do something.
But see, he loves the technology, the shortcuts. He loves learning all that.
That's true.
I'm the grandma in the relationship.
So time is your biggest thing, making sure you get everything done at work.
There's just not enough of it.
Yeah. But let's go back. How can we streamline this? Like, how can we make, because you're the streamline guy, the systems guy.
Yeah.
How do we, what do you offload? What do you increase in order to do that? Because that's the goal of all of what we do.
Yeah.
The goal is to not make truckloads of money, in a way.
Yeah.
I want to make truckloads of money. But I want to make truckloads of money so that I can have the time to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I work from home this morning. It's a slower week at work. Worked from home this morning. I came in to do this for y'all. I got a meeting at 2. I'm done.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what can you do? We can just make this a think session.
Clone yourself.
What can you do to figure this, to offload these things?
Yeah. You know, just continuing to, and I've been doing it for a while, slowly taking a task. Again, making it as simple as possible, writing a little SOP, as Cody Sanchez says, and then passing that off, making sure that person, you got it, do you need any help? Okay, you do that each week. And then just, you know, I've kind of got a huge list of the things that need to get done, or the things that I need to do, and making sure who's my person to do this, what's a backup, because, you know, Lord knows, somebody will be off, something will happen. Yeah, or quit.
Yeah.
But just slowly... Like Michael, there are several things. He's the sales manager. He's picking up for me and just taking and doing. And it's like, so I'm bouncing a lot of ideas. Hey, what do you think about this? That? Okay, let's do this. Will you, you know, in Monday's meeting, tell everybody.
He'll do that.
So it's really nice. Now I'm kind of, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good.
Again, Cody Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Be the archer, not the arrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to point everybody in this direction. All right, now y'all know what to do. I'm not going to nitpick and micromanage how to do it as long as you get it done and it's the end result.
It's like we want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you love, the two of you, what do you love about what you do? Like, what do you enjoy about owning the business and running the business?
Well, I guess from my side, one, we want to create a good company culture.
But why? That's a very, like, out-of-the-box answer. I want to create a good culture. Why do you want to do that?
It really, I guess when you've been around people, like some people, how long have some people worked at Liberty Linen? 20 years, 20 plus years?
Yeah.
So when you see them and they're showing up day after day and you're thinking, like when we first moved down to Orange Beach and I came to the office and I walked into the bathroom and the state of the bathrooms that these ladies are using every day, I was taken aback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we go and we get paint and we get new fixtures and we spent a whole weekend
place toilets, zhuzhing lights, up switches.
So that when they came in on Monday,
it
was a new restroom. And one of the ladies, Charles said, had like tears in her eyes about the restroom. And so they're spending 40 hours a week in this office. And what can we do better? Can we do bonuses better? Can we be flexible with whether you're in the office or working from home? I don't know. And I think COVID made us really think about that. Like people's, mm-hmm. I don't know. They're people. They spend all day yeah. with Charles. We really want to take good care of the people who are spending their time with our business.
Well, here's the other thing too. Those people, you want to create the culture because those people are incredibly important to your family.
Yeah.
Without yeah. Susie and without Johnny yes. and without Mike and without, you know, yeah. Cindy, there yeah. would be no Liberty Living.
Yep.
I yeah. mean, you could go find somebody else, but you got people that have been there 20 years that know things yeah. inside and out, and they're
yeah.
they're the reason you can do the things that you do. But you've also given them a great job that they enjoy, apparently.
Well, we hope so, but we yeah. want to make it better.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like there's always room for improvement. I mean, what time does Jim get to the warehouse every single day?
He shuts the alarm off because it's on my phone yeah. at like 5:30.
Wow.
Every day, morning. Like clockwork.
Now he doesn't start till 6:30, whatever. But we've given him the grace to shift his schedule up a little bit, so yeah. he leaves a little early. But
so tell me about what about you? So you answered the culture question. What do you love about what you do?
I love making things work mm-hmm. well. You know, sadly, I went to Auburn for engineering, took all major classes, and then quit doing that. I kind of burned myself out. I mean, at a point, I think it was like my second or third year, you could calculate how far a block of wood would fall being hit by a bullet. You're kind of like, all right, you know, my brain hurts.
Yeah.
And it was only going to continue. And then I think we were dating and some other things influenced me, but I kind of got burnt out, and so I went into business management and then just immediately started working in the company just to have a job.
Right.
And kind of for a while, we actually had two retail stores that sold blue goods or police, fire, sheriff, security uniforms, all those types of things, one in Birmingham and one in Memphis. And it was like, as I got in there, I was like, all right, this isn't functioning right. And I kind of just took it upon myself like it was my own. All right, let me fix this. Okay, this part's running good. What's going on back here? Let me fix this. And then, hey, we're not good at retail. This is terrible. Let's shut this down. Then I go to, we actually have an embroidery warehouse over in Irondale, which is just east of Birmingham, where we do a lot of embroidery, heat seal alterations, some inventory. I kind of took over that, and it was like, this isn't working. Let's make this work better. Mm. And then, so I've kind of done that moving all through the company, and I just really enjoy taking something broken and fixing it and making
He's
it.
He's good at it.
So, operator.
Yeah.
One of my next questions was this. What are you really good at? And so I think I know the answer for you. You're a good operator. You can go in, find the problem, and either fix the problem or find a solution to make the whole process better. And that's a huge, huge skill set. What are you good at?
What would you say that
I'm good at? I want an egotistical answer. I'm really good at this.
Egotistical answer. I don't know. I think that I've got some good leadership qualities. Mm-hmm. I think I'm good at identifying a problem, and I think we need to do this to fix this problem. Mm-hmm. And Charles is then good at implementing that.
That's great. That's a good combination. Yeah.
You know, throughout the years, she has just come up with business ideas and theologies with having never gone through business school. And it's like, I went to school to learn this. Why is it so natural for you? So she's just like, why are you doing this? Do it this way.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So let's go back to you in college. So I want to get to this story. So where did you go to college?
I started at Auburn.
Yes.
And
was there a year? And so we got into a conversation before we went on air about college, and there's so many different opinions about college. So my opinion on college is I think college is a wonderful bridge from childhood to adulthood.
Did you excel in college?
Outside of the classroom?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How about in the classroom?
I was a 3.0 kid.
Okay.
The only reason I was a 3.0 is because my mom paid my car insurance, and I had to have a 3.0 because if I didn't, the rate went up. I do not love school.
I love
learning. Okay. So school is the biggest waste of time for me. Like my kids will hear this, and here's what I want my kids to know.
Yeah.
I want my kids to be really, really good readers.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, I want them to be good at math.
Yeah.
Like everyday math. I don't
those
care
are
about
the big things
those
for
are the
us.
Big things. If you can read, you can learn. And if you can do math, my biggest thing is like everyday money and also money math.
Yeah.
I want to know percentages. I want to know, you know, all the different, the way, and I also want them to be able to read business sheets, P&Ls, pro formas, understand those things. Those are, those are critical things for me. Other than that, I really don't care. But I have a history degree.
Okay.
I have a master's in education administration and sports management.
Okay.
Okay. I don't use any of it.
Yeah.
I coached college football for 10 years. So I just don't, I didn't need any of it for so long.
Yeah.
From a bio, from a physical aspect, we are not fully developed at 18.
Yes.
We're not fully developed at 22.
Yeah.
But we're a lot closer.
Yep.
And so my time living on my own, paying my bills, balancing a checkbook, that's a really odd way to say it in 2024. Yeah. Balancing a checkbook.
I was terrible at that.
Yeah, balancing a budget, things like that. Living with other humans that are not your family. Those
work schedule.
Those are all really good things.
Those are things that I learned.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would have learned those living at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
So for me, college, that is important.
Mm-hmm.
So the great example that I give, as soon as I left college, a guy named Sam Hunt came to UAB.
Oh, the singer?
The singer.
Okay.
So one of my best friends, Sam Williamson, I've never told this story before. One of my best friends, Sam Williamson. So most college football teams are 65-75% African American.
Yeah.
And so in turn, that culture is going to dominate the locker room in most places. So we had rap music on the whole time that I was there, my whole 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Sam said, he said, Thomas, when Sam Hunt was there, he said, we would sit in our lockers and listen to Sam in his locker play the guitar. And they said,
so interesting.
For four or however long he was there, if Sam was not in class, if Sam was not playing ball, he was in a bar singing.
You know who that is.
True 10,000 hour rule guy.
I think so.
The guy who he talks, or it's not really rap.
Mm-mm. It's kind of
in his songs.
It's, country singer. He's hugely successful.
He is hugely.
But I
successful.
I tell the story of my daughter, my 15-year-old daughter, and so she says, "I don't want to go to college." Well, I said, "Well, college is a." And I told her the same story. You learn and grow so much.
I think you have a good perspective on it. My experience was different. So I was really motivated in high school. I was good at school.
Yeah.
Did really well on the ACT. Like, the trajectory of what my parents...
What'd you make on the ACT? I want to know.
Without a calculator, because I left it, and my mom... I made a 33, 34.
Okay. You ready for this?
What?
You made double what I made.
I made double what he made, too. I loved
school. I don't remember what I made.
And I thought I was going to do so well at Auburn. And I went through Rush. I was in a sorority. I learned how to cross my legs properly and not chew gum and do all the things. And I kind of looked around and I was like, I don't fit. And this isn't what I want to do. But I came home at Christmas and I have fabulous parents.
Yeah.
And I told my dad, because at Auburn, it was the old dorms when I was there.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you moved into a sorority dorm, the popular thing that they like to do, because you had suite mates, so two dorms sharing one bathroom, they would like to put all four beds in one room and then use that second room as like a living room. And they love that. A lot of people love that. I lived in terror of that was going to be my sophomore year. And I came home and I told my dad, I remember being at the original Pancake House in Five Points.
Yeah.
And telling him, I can't do this. I can't go back and do this. And he was just like, well this is what you're going to do. He loved Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
They were so excited I was there. And I just kind of self-destructed after that. And so anyway, I left Auburn. I went on a missions trip. I had seen this video, this documentary called Invisible Children. It totally flipped my world perspective upside down. I had done a missions trip with my soccer team to South America or to Brazil my summer going into my senior year. We ran like soccer camps.
Yeah.
We took these kids from the slums, the little shanty villages, took them to McDonald's for the first time. It was incredible. So that had happened. I see this documentary. I called my parents and I told them, I'm not supposed to be at Auburn. I'm supposed to be in Africa. And they were like, well, that's nice. And maybe after you graduate from Auburn, we can talk about
we
that.
We could work up a trip.
Uh-huh. So when I came home from Auburn, I knew I wasn't going back.
After the first year.
My uncle at the time was the speed, strength, and conditioning coach at UCLA. So that summer we took a trip to go look at UCLA. And I was a fine arts major at Auburn. They had a good art program at UCLA. We were potentially going to transfer there.
Huh.
We toured the campus. And then, I don't know, it felt kind of random. I came home and my parents were like, would you still like to go to Africa? My dad had a guy that had worked with him at Hoare Construction when I was a baby. He and his wife were digging water wells all throughout Namibia. And so they had set it up for me, if I wanted to come live with them and help them dig water wells. And so that's what I did for 3 months. And it was, so when I think about like the college experience, your parents put you on a plane with no cell phone and you're gonna travel. Sure. And be somewhere by yourself. I feel like I got a lot out of that trip.
The Africa trip.
Yep.
What did you do after Africa? Did you come back and finish?
I came back. No, I started at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I did not finish at Alabama. I also got to visit a lot of community colleges in the state of Alabama.
Perfect.
She gave a little money to all the colleges in Alabama.
Or my parents did.
Yeah.
Alabama was wonderful. I really liked their campus. I really liked being there, but I still couldn't quite focus on what it was I wanted to do. Charles and I were still dating. He was at Auburn. We were doing a lot of back and forth, and so I ended up back at Auburn.
You guys met there. How quickly after that? What was the story there?
We met in high school on 280.
Okay. So you met in high school. You dated through college. What was the transition like? Marriage
during that college time, I guess you were in your senior year, maybe. Yeah, you were going into your senior year here at UAB.
Yeah,
and we went and had dinner at a friend's house. They were a little bit older, they had gotten married, and it was just so nice. I mean, they're making dinner, and I was looking around, I was like, I want this, and I want this now, or else we're gonna turn into brother and sister.
Oh, wow.
You know, you're trying to do things the right way. And so we slipped a note to my mom that was like, because she was on the phone with something. She kept telling me, I can't talk right now. And I just slipped her a note that was like, I want to get married in 2 months. And so that's what we did. We fast-tracked everything. And we had a beautiful wedding, but it was just family at Aldridge Gardens. Mm-hmm. And
I took my international business exam
an
hour before that.
And then, really.
And then we got married.
Good for y'all.
Yeah. It was time. And
so tell me about the family. Tell me about kids. And I mean, you guys have moved around a little bit. You're down at Orange Beach now. Tell me about the kids.
We have awesome kids.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, our oldest, is 12.
Okay.
He's definitely a first child.
He definitely is first child. He's wonderful. He was born early, and he was in the NICU for the first 3 months of his life.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
The process of having our first child was the most humbling and truly made me dependent on God. Yeah.
That's incredible. Three months.
Yep. He coded 2 or 3 times. And every time that we would have like a successful thing happen with him, people would say, and we would say, God is so good. God is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I was sitting there and I was holding him and I was just saying how good God is. And this little voice said, but what if he had died? Would I still be good?
Wow.
And having Charlie completely changed me. I feel like I was a really proud person before. And I think it softened my sharp edges and humbled me incredibly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you go through having a sick child, I hear that for some marriages it maybe breaks it apart, but for us it really brought us closer together.
And after that he just kept having somebody, he'd catch a cold from school or whatever, and he had a lot of respiratory issues, bronchial issues, and so he'd be in the ER every month almost.
Yeah.
And so
hospitalized a few times.
Healthy now?
Healthy now, but it's been a long journey to get to that point.
Is he a big kid, a small kid, because he was born so early?
He's big kid.
About to be taller than she is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We're about looking eye to eye.
What about sports? Does he play sports?
We have tried sports. I think one of our friends said, we're encouraging our son to play country club sports. And I was like, you know, Charlie does like golf and he does like tennis, and maybe that's just the direction we'll go.
He enjoyed the dugout. More than
he loved dugout life.
Having
so, yeah.
the ball thrown
out. Get the sunflower seeds out.
Exactly.
Get the gum.
Yeah. Cheer. So there's the family up the street, the Williams, and they're precious people. They've got three boys, and their kids don't play sports. One of them is a mountain biker. And I said something about, did they play football, basketball,
yeah.
baseball?
Yeah.
She goes, no, we're readers.
Oh.
We're readers.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay,
yeah.
that's cool. That's great. I am too.
It is. Yeah. It feels weird, and I guess some of that is just stereotypical. You expect your boy to excel mm-hmm. at sports, because my family culture was you better do good at school and you better do good at sports.
Well, you went up to another country and did soccer.
That's a big part of travel, soccer was a huge part of
sports
life.
Are a gigantic part of Jackie
yes.
Nash's life. Both of our
yeah.
played ball in college. It's a huge part. So, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it's
yeah.
there's it's there. So, tell me about your other kids.
Marigold, our middle, she's doing travel soccer. And
okay.
so soccer has once again become a big part of life. And it's a lot of fun.
And she's how old?
She's 8.
Okay.
She's very creative and funny.
Loud and wild as
yep.
well.
Yep. And then Finley, our youngest, is 6. And she's into tumbling and whatever.
Do we really know what they're into at 6 and 7? Because, like, I have one that turned 8 2 days ago, and I really don't know what she's into.
She spends almost all of her time doing handstands right now.
Okay.
So I feel
Perfect.
Like I can safely say she is
That's
into it.
That's what she
it.
Wants to do.
But they're good kids. And we homeschool. And I feel like I know them. I spend, what is mm-hmm. it, when you spend X amount of hours doing something,
10,000
you become
hours.
A expert on it. Mm-hmm. It's like by the time your kids turn 5, you spent that amount of time with them. And now we're together. Every day.
So from a family work perspective, okay, what are you guys working on right now? Like, what is important what is important to
Ooh.
You guys that you're having multiple conversations with? So the question is this, what are you
yeah.
working on right now?
I would say our kids' faith, their relationship with Jesus becoming their own.
Mm-hmm.
Not
very,
that it's
very
something
good.
That we're pushing on
Absolutely.
Them.
Yep.
Because that kind of terrifies me that, like, we put so much emphasis of you've got to give your heart to Jesus. You've got to give. And then they do it because mom and dad are telling
sure.
them this is what you've got to do. And they go to college and they're like, well, I only really did any of that because mom and dad
mm-hmm.
told me I had to. So I'd say a lot of our conversations when we have time, my favorite thing to do with Charles is to walk and talk. And so when we have time to do that, I think where our kids' hearts are at is kind of mainly what we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just kind of leading them in that relationship. Seeking God just
mm-hmm.
by the way we act, the way we talk, the conversations we have, the examples we give.
Well, and that our life won't look like the world's life, and
yeah.
we don't want it to.
Which is funny, having conversations like about Halloween, we're kind of like,
oh,
yeah, we're
kind of
punting
yeah.
that one.
We don't do it at
you
all.
Know?
We're just
we
very
do.
Upfront
okay,
about it.
Okay, we yeah. don't either. And it's,
we don't dress up. We just
yeah.
say, hey, guys, this is this well, devil's holiday.
Cause
we love Jesus. This is Satan's holiday. You know how we love Christmas and we
yeah.
celebrate Christmas
yeah.
and our whole house is Christmas? That's Satan's holiday. So we just, and there are people out there that are going to rip me
yep,
for saying that.
Yep.
But, like, I really don't care. If you go back and spend 15 minutes on
yep.
the Google researching it.
Yep. It's really funny.
It will terrify you.
So when yeah. we were in Birmingham and we'd go on this like one little street in Homewood and it was sweet and everybody was a football player and a
yeah.
princess. And then we moved to Orange Beach and it's October and houses around us look like Saw and
yeah.
just like these horrible, horrible things.
Horror movies.
And you can't protect
Mm-mm.
your children from it anymore because you're taking them to these houses. And I think the first year we were in Orange Beach, we were like,
yeah.
And the second year, and I don't think we talked about it. And the second
yeah.
year, we both felt uncomfortable again. And we finally, I was like, I'm uncomfortable. And he said, I'm uncomfortable too.
Wow.
And that was it.
So that's a great segue. What do you guys struggle the most? Like, be transparent. What are you struggling with parenting?
With parenting?
What are you not very good at right
Me
now?
Would be patience and not treating my kids or expecting them to be slaves, more or less. Like,
or
my mom...
Not slaves, adults.
Yeah, okay.
He will do the thing with the girls, like...
Big difference.
yeah. No, it's like he expects them to have adult reactions and adult feelings. I'm like, they're six, they're eight.
Or remember things better than, sadly, I remember.
Holding
things.
Them to a higher standard than we hold.
I struggle with that a little bit.
Each other too.
Yeah. I do. Me and my wife talk about that a lot.
Yeah, it's a. I mean, it's what a about hard you? Thing.
What
do?
It's all his problems. What are your problems?
I mean, I think I have high standards. And but more so with Charlie because he's 12, and we have a lot of conversations about, like, I can't treat you like a baby.
Yeah,
you've got to start stepping into manhood. And I don't. I mean, I'm a woman. I'm not a man, but I'm with him all day.
Yep.
And so, not pushing him too hard, but also being too soft on him. I think every day I kind of struggle with that push and pull of how much to push forward and how much to pull back.
Mm-hmm. So, Charlie's 12. There's a book called The Manmaker Project by Chris Bruno. You need to read it.
Okay.
Okay, I've read it once. Tegan's 12. He's in the fifth grade. Charlie in sixth grade or fifth?
Six.
Okay, so you need to read it. Okay. So we're the only culture on the planet that doesn't have a rite of passage for our humans.
Yep.
Okay. Mainly because we're very, very new. People don't understand this, that America is in a very, very new country.
Yeah.
And Hispanic and African and, you know, South American, and they're so old.
Yeah.
Meaning they have these things that they do that are, quote, rite of passages. Like, for example, the guy that delivered all three of my kids is Filipino. They had the Philippines is an old country. They've been there forever. Yeah. Well, they've got these rite of passages that they do. This book talks about creating a rite of passage for your human, and mainly your son. There's a book called A Voice Becoming. You're not ready to read it yet, but it's by his wife.
Okay.
Okay. And it's the same thing. It's called A Voice Becoming.
Yeah.
And it is the same thing. It's the American rite of passage for girls.
Yeah.
We're in that stage. Yeah. And so this probably would be something for us good to do, not necessarily together, but like maybe like bouncing ideas and thoughts off each other of like, because it's a year-long process.
Yeah.
And you want to, Mark Batterson, who I think is one of the best authors out there, wrote a book called, I've been six or eight years since I read it.
What's the name?
Mark Batterson. He's a phenomenal Christian author, but he's a great writer. He's wonderful. It's not called Man Up. It's called Something with a Man. And it's the same premise as a Manmaker Project. But Chris goes through a little bit more detail with it. And I know Chris. I met Chris in Colorado. He's wonderful. But this is very, very good for what we're fixing to embark upon. So I don't know why I went down that rabbit trail, but that's it was Charlie. There. So let's talk about business, okay? Let's transition back to business. What would y'all tell a young business owner?
Ooh, I was going to ask you that. What would you tell a young business owner?
I guess for me,
like, you're 35. And you're just starting your business. What are the things
I'm 43.
Because I'm 35. Yeah. So, and we're starting this in 2024. What are the things that are like your top of priority list?
Number one would be in great shape.
Huh?
Be in great shape.
Like physically great shape.
Be in great shape. When you walk into a room and you're in great shape, whether you're male or female, people notice. And
do you feel like it commands respect?
I think it commands respect, but I also think the respect it commands is that person has a delayed gratification. That person has great habits. That person has more to them than just a normal looking human.
Okay.
And that sounds,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if it sounds bad or not. Andy Elliott, who's a very, very ostentatious, loud, boisterous sales guy. And he talks about when you shake, and this is really manly.
Yeah.
He says, when you shake somebody's hand, and you see the vein in your bicep, he says, that tells somebody that you've worked hard.
Yeah.
And hard work is a trait, habit.
Yeah.
That I would, it commands so much respect. And I would say, hey, this is a trait that you need. The second thing I would tell a business owner would be to start investing as early as you possibly can. And I mean, $25 a month. I mean,
and investing it into what?
I don't really care. The easy answer is this. The easy answer is dollar cost averaging. The market is extremely consistent. It's extremely boring, but I would rather get rich bored than not get rich at all. And okay. So me dollar cost averaging from 18 to 32, 18 to 35, 37, helped me buy my first apartment complex.
That's awesome.
So like, I just was boring. I shut my eyes and I just automatically transferred money out every month.
But how do you make, and this is something I struggle with, maybe not struggle, but I hear people give that advice and they're talking to that 20-year-old who's starting. And it makes the 35-year-old feel like, or it makes me feel like, well, gosh, I haven't been doing that the last decade of my life. So what do I do to feel like I can catch up?
Well, at 18, I didn't have near the purchase power that you did. So at 18, I've told this story before. When I was 18-year-old, I got $2,000 for graduating from high school. You send out invitations, people send you money. I took $1,000 and blew it. I took $1,000 and gave it to a guy in the church. Don't even remember the guy's name. And he invested into mutual funds. And he said, send me money every month.
Okay.
I said, okay. So in college at 18 years old, I sent this guy $25 a month. I started parking cars and started making money. Made a lot of money in college. Okay. I started sending 50, started sending 100, started hitting $200 a month. And I just did that.
Was he sending you like reports and letting you know how your money
was
growing?
Yeah, I'd get something every month. Okay. I'd get something in the mail every month.
Was that exciting?
It's fine. I just knew that it was just not my money.
Okay.
I knew it was my money, but I knew it wasn't my money. And so I just did that. But I could do it 20. I remember the range I used was 25 to $400 a month. $400 is when I made a killing. Okay. Yeah. You at 35 have more buying power than that than I do. So you can fast track. Now, here's the thing, that the advantage that I have at 18 is time.
Yeah.
Time is the neutralizer and the unfair advantage that you have.
Yeah.
So as opposed to me giving 25 to $400 a month, you could do 2,000.
Yeah.
1,500, whatever, and it would fast track that. So 35, you could do that and just shut your eyes and put that away.
Yeah.
And at 55, what would it be? At 45, what would it be? That's not 45 is not far.
Yeah.
Okay. So the whole getting good shape and the investing, those are the things that
those
I would tell
business owners. Those are both really good things. Did you say you had a third thing?
No, two is all I got.
Just two.
I mean, if you give too many, if you give people too many things, they forget all of them.
Yeah.
So the exercise and habit thing, too, is something that it's not only just to command the presence and to show someone that you've worked hard, but when you are in great shape, you have more energy.
Okay.
Yeah. And if I've got more energy, I can do the thing. Like, for example, yesterday, normal morning routine. I got up when I got up. I was coaching basketball at 9:25 last night. So from 4 o'clock yesterday morning to 9:25. Now, I can't do that every day.
Yeah.
But the reason I can do that is because I got good energy, because I'm in relatively good shape. So I think that's critical.
Yeah.
I think that's critical for business owners because, like you said, you wear so many hats. Mm-hmm. You, for example, you wear a ton of hats. You have to go from teaching homeschool to, you know, painting to making sure that the state of Louisiana has all their paperwork.
Yep.
And I think if you don't have good clarity in your mind, it's hard to transition from one thing to another.
Yes.
Because that's what you have to do. You got to go from sales to HR to logistics to, oh my gosh, I got to pay this bill.
Yeah.
In an hour.
I got to put out a fire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So those are pretty critical things for me.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Okay, so we've talked about this before. Outside of business and investing, where do you guys invest your money?
You smiled. What are you about to say?
He is smiling. Oh, she has no idea. Nothing. I love this.
Well, but you've had such a smile about you.
Because I wish we could. We've talked about doing different things, but right now, nothing.
Well, we put in a poll. Our money. You actually had an episode where you had somebody on, and y'all talked about pools and how. I forget what he did. I don't remember what he did. I feel like it was an early episode, and he said that having a pool makes you like a central home.
Oh, yeah.
The kids will flock to your house. And we put one in this summer. I feel like that was a great thing we did.
Mm-hmm.
From an just activity standpoint and friends coming over.
We love a pool. I would have never gotten a pool. We bought a house with a pool. We moved back to Birmingham. I would have never built a pool. Knowing that now that we have one, I think a pool is critical if you've got kids.
Yeah.
Because it makes your house the place that people want to come. Having parties. I mean, you can swim 8 months a year here.
Yeah.
So it's a critical part.
Yeah.
I'm talking, when I say investing.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, you said investing. I missed that.
When I say investing, what financially do you invest in outside of your business?
Nothing right now.
Okay.
But I've been focused
Charles
on
has
learning,
a fire in his
yeah,
belly to
on real
begin.
Estate.
Okay. And so, are yeah, you are you extinguishing that fire?
Oh, that's a great question. extinguishing, I feel like, is a harsh word.
Okay.
Charles's parents are more adventurous than my parents.
Okay.
I'm
setting you up.
You are setting me up. Okay. Yeah. So I feel like I come at things a little bit differently than Charles does. He's more of a, like, let's do it. And yeah, I'm like, let's ask some questions first.
Sure.
Let's see which way the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
And then wait till it blows the other way.
Are you a natural procrastinator?
That's a great question, too. Probably. I think it depends on what we're talking about.
Would you describe yourself as a perfectionist?
Yes.
Okay. Here's my theory on this.
Okay. Ooh.
Perfectionism and people that call themselves perfectionists uh-huh, are more procrastinators than anything, because you want things to be perfect
yeah,
before you execute, when in reality you need to execute and then fix.
Well, see, you know, from a painting standpoint, it's not before I execute, it's before I can be finished. It's I want to live with it for so long
mm-hmm,
because I don't feel like it's good enough until I feel like it's good enough. But I don't really ever. Sometimes Charles just has to say, "You're done. It's finished. It looks good.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. Ship it."
Think about this though. Think about if everything had to be perfect, nothing would progress.
And see, I think I heard Jenna Kutcher talk about that. That if you're waiting for it to be perfect, you're never going to do it.
You're never going to do it.
And I know that that's a problem I have. But some of it is not from a procrastination. Some of it is, I feel like, and I don't know who I think has these expectations on me. Maybe I do want things to be perfect because yeah, I want to please people.
Sure.
I don't want someone to get something from me and be like, well, this should have been different, or she could have done better on this if she had just put more time into it.
I don't want to be perfect. I want to be great.
Yeah.
The iPhone is a great example.
Yeah.
We're on iPhone 15.
Oh, well, I don't even know.
So he created the iPhone. Jobs yeah, created the iPhone. Mm-hmm. But think about this. If he would have waited for it to be perfect, it would have never been created. So he created the iPhone, and he got it out there. He's got a new version. Now, obviously, we yeah, know why he has new versions, because he makes more money.
Yeah.
But understand this. You get an iPhone, and then every 3 months, 2 months, 4 months, it's got a what? It's got an update.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. If we just wait for things to be perfect, if we procrastinate because we want it to be perfect. There's this girl that used to work for me.
Yeah.
All her pencils had to be sharpened, and her computer had to be fully powered up, and her notebook had to have a clean sheet of paper, and all these things had to be ready before she could start things. And I'm like, okay, just freaking start. Just go, and then we'll fix it on the back yeah, end. So I'm like, let's go. Just do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it, and then fix it. I feel like instead of trying to be perfect, we just need to try to be great. Because yeah, there's always a next level to great, as opposed to it's never going to be perfect. And if yeah, we try for that, we're going to be disappointed in ourselves.
Yeah.
But we're also going to be disappointed in others.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing we don't want to do. It's not like expectations with our kids. I deal with it bad.
Yeah.
Y'all said y'all dealt with it. Wanting them to be great is a difference than wanting them to be perfect, because great is one step above what they were the day before.
Yeah.
And for us too. And so that's my like perfectionism.
The real estate thing kind of scares me. I mean,
I saw a meme the other day of somebody like being pushed off of a rocky gorge, and it says real estate for beginners.
That's
you
right.
Know?
That is exactly
were you,
how I feel.
Were you raised in the Dave Ramsey world of thought?
Probably quasi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my mom can be very Dave Ramsey, but she can also be very, we can't take it with us.
Mm.
So let's go on the vacation, or let's buy the fabulous dress. Or
she's Dave Ramsey when it's something she doesn't have to have, but when it's something she absolutely wants, she's
yes,
like, yo,
yeah,
I got you.
But I mean, but also, that's just, my parents both
they
had
did
their
the traditional.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very traditional. That's
gotcha.
In all areas of life.
Okay, quick questions at the end. Go-to activity with your kids. Go. What is it?
Are you answering this?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Playing.
Yeah, playing.
Charles is
wrestling.
Great at, yes.
Is he?
Trampoline.
Jumping on the trampoline.
Chasing
rolling around,
them.
Throwing great, the kids.
Making them laugh till they can't
uh-huh,
breathe.
Attacking them.
Yeah.
More or less.
Perfect. So just fun, yeah, loving, rough play.
Yeah.
What's your favorite follow on social media?
Ooh. I love home decor accounts.
Okay.
But House and Habit is probably the one I seek out and look at her stories. She's fascinating.
Perfect. What about you?
Babylon Bee.
What is that?
It's a Christian-based political satire, but they poke fun at both sides all the time.
He loves it.
I mean, really? It owns me all the time.
Really?
So
I love that. That's good. Favorite vacation that y'all have taken, just the two of you?
Asheville was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was work / personal. There was a little organizational trade show up there, and we went, but took her, and we stayed at one of the Omni hotels in Asheville, which is like in a rock mountain, really.
We're
unique. Also Disney people. We love a good, you're clearly not, but we love a good Disney trip.
For the family fun, kids, magical, but not even for what they've decided to do recently.
We've gone just the two of us several times.
As adults. Wow.
Yeah. Rope drop, we do the whole thing.
We'll talk in his book.
We'll talk about Disney when we get off the air. What's your favorite vacation that you've never taken?
Europe.
Yeah.
Okay.
My brother is in Germany right now.
Okay.
He should be engaged in the next week. He wants to get married in Greece. And so that will probably be a trip we take this year with the kids.
With the kids. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both answers. I want two different answers. Mm-hmm. Can't say the Bible. What's the best book you've ever read?
You go ahead.
Well, the first answer could be the same, and it's not the Bible. We have both read, you're reading it right now, we have both read a life-changing book this last year, The Awe of God by John Bevere. I feel like this book chased me down.
Mm-hmm.
A friend sent the podcast with him. Amazing. And then he was on a Grow Leader podcast with Pastor Chris, spoke to the college, which we're at Highlands College.
Yep.
And then I was asked to join a Bible study, and that is the book they were doing. And it is incredible. I would encourage anybody to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
I was going to say that because I'm currently doing it now with a best friend here in Birmingham. Other than that, the next book, and I actually did in a little Bible study I'm in down there, we did a book swap and I brought it, but The Holy Spirit by John Bevere.
Y'all like John Bevere. He's good. I've read three or four of his things.
Yeah.
I think I've read that book. I can't remember.
It's really, when you get the fear. It's eye-opening,
thought-turning, it's just, so that was a very, because, the Holy Spirit is who Jesus sent to be here. It is the action of God who separated the waters still here with us. And when I started reading it, I was like, why are we not talking about the Holy Spirit?
I totally get it.
Parenting book, though, Habits of the Household.
Very good.
Oh, you've read it?
I have read it.
I love that book.
Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
Yeah.
Is very good. It's along the same lines as that. I'm going to go back and reread a bunch of stuff. So I did that this morning. I took probably 6 or 8 books that I've read that are really, really good. Because there's a lot of theories out there. Alex Hormozy talks about this, of why would you want to read just a bunch of different books? Instead, go back and find the ones that are great and reread them and know them better. So I've got probably 10 or 12 books. Maybe not even that. 6 or 8 books. Now, I will still read new stuff. I've got new stuff on my desk now. But I went.
Do you read or do you listen?
I read.
Okay. See, I can't. He likes to listen. I like to read.
Well,
I want to underline and write notes, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've got like a 30-minute drive to work, 30-minute drive home.
Yeah.
So that's kind of when I get in there. So
I sit in the sauna every morning, so I read there, and that's like 20 minutes. And then I read before I go to the gym in the morning. I read a little bit at night, but it ain't much. Yeah. I'm like, I go to sleep pretty good. So
tell us about what you're doing right now.
Yeah. The reason I reached out to you about
there was one episode you talked about businesses you were looking at. So what's happening with that?
I'm working on right now, which is kind of really part of what I'm doing, is I'm really spending a lot of time learning Facebook ads.
Really? Okay.
So I hired a guy to teach me and somebody on my team how to run and learn Facebook ads.
Okay.
The reason I am is because I've had such a horrible time finding companies to run them and then being anywhere close to knowledgeable at all.
So you feel like your customer is on Facebook?
I feel like my customer for Weddings Costa Rica is on Facebook, Instagram. Facebook ads is not just it's Facebook,
okay.
Instagram.
Yeah.
So it's both.
I love Instagram. I feel like I use it as a search engine now.
Instagram?
Yes. If I go to a new city and we want to go to a new restaurant or find, I look on Instagram.
Let me tell you about Facebook. Facebook has helped me out twice this week, three times this week, finding stuff that I needed. I will go on Facebook and I said, best place to get my 8-year-old daughter's ears pierced. Where was I going to go? I was going to go to Claire's.
Yes. Where'd you go?
You
Swaddle?
Ready? A
tattoo parlor. Well, it's very clean.
It was 51 comments in less than an hour.
I bet.
And 48 of them were this tattoo parlor. And the other three were don't go to Claire's. That was it.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah,
that's helped. And then I'm building a dock at the lake. I found some more there. And it helps me.
Yes.
So I'm learning Facebook ads right now. I'm doing a lot of private money lending with real estate. It is the best thing for an entry point for anybody doing real estate.
Okay.
It is give somebody money, charge an interest rate, put a timeline on it, charge simple interest, and just wire money and make money. So I'm doing that a lot. And then I really have something in my soul to start a fund. I get so many people that ask, hey, I got a lot of extra money, got $40,000, got $80,000 that I need to invest. What do I do? And I enjoy it.
Like a real estate syndicate?
I don't know. I don't know if it's real estate. I don't know if it's other businesses. I don't know if it's private money lending. I don't know what it is. But I think that that's probably something I will do in the next 12 to 18 months.
Is that like just a thought that comes to you? Or is it, we were talking about dreams. Like, how does that?
So if one person asks you a question because they think you know something about that, it's a thought.
Uh-huh.
If more than one person asks you about it, it may be something that you need to look into. I've had 5 or 6 people message call me and say, hey, I've got this much money. I've got this much money. What should I do? And I just, as I've gone through the different avenues that we invest, it's just, it seems like I don't know anything about it though. Mm-hmm. And I got to find somebody that does it, knows it, and help them, and then learn and go do one on my own. Because
that's
there's
awesome.
Too many people out there that, like for y'all, for example, if you were to, over the next 2 years, create some income and you're sitting on $150,000 and like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, let me help you do that.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I really, really want to do.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday. You had talked about the different, not buckets, but percentages and when it gets this, put it here. So that is something we want to start doing.
The profit first?
Yeah.
When we get off air, let's go through that.
Yeah.
I will go through the exact process of what we do in.
Because it sounds like that's probably the most, the easiest way to just start.
It's like you're sending that $20-$25 to that guy. It's just, let me go ahead and slide it over here because that's what it's going to go for.
Yeah.
It's a game changer. If you're disciplined now.
Yeah.
If you're disciplined, it's a game changer.
Once Charles gets the structure in place, he's super disciplined.
So, yeah, those are the things I'm working on right there.
But what about weddings?
Weddings Costa Rica has been a challenge.
Okay.
We've made money in everything that we've done pretty quickly.
Okay.
Real estate, table and time, meal fit.
Yeah.
This is a business that is not like just make the money.
Okay.
And so I've talked to other owners about their businesses and things like that. And so we're making money. We're just not extremely profitable.
Yeah.
And I am used to starting a business, never having debt, and grown with it. I've invested money in it and I've not made back what I've invested in yet.
Okay.
That's hard for me. And it just is. And so, but I really think that Weddings Costa Rica has as much upside as anything that we do.
Do you feel like you could have weddings at the lake?
I do.
Yeah.
I think it would probably be down the road in another year or two.
Yeah.
We have a beautiful spot at Walcox Point.
Yeah.
It's
great. It's like you could offer like a package.
We
could do your catering.
The food,
all of it.
I would probably, here's what I would probably do. I'd probably have five a year.
Yeah. Awesome.
Pick 5 dates and say, hey, this is what we're doing. These are the dates we're doing it. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be really, really specific and really, really, I don't want to say high end, but just this is what we got.
Yeah.
If you want this date, great. Come.
Yeah.
And I would pick good dates.
Yeah.
So things like that.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Well, tell us about your experience with Highlands College. So we've been talking about it.
We're in it.
Yeah.
This facility is awesome.
We've walked through the halls. My son got to walk through it.
Yeah.
Her father, you know, built it.
I think that I get asked a question all the time about it. I think it is not a college if you're like, quote, not sure what you want to do. Okay. It's not that. Like, this is not Auburn. This is not Alabama. It's not UAB. It's not that. It's not Sanford. It's not, and that people relate it to Sanford because it's a Christian school.
Yes.
It is a ministry school. But let me say this. If you could replicate the model at other places for business, for teachers, for other professions,
okay,
it's wonderful. It is the best model I've ever seen. So let me give you an example. They go to school in the morning. They sit in class. They talk about communication. They talk about the Bible. They talk about all those things. Yeah. Then they go in the afternoon. They do what they call practicum. And so they're sitting with, like, if it's worship, they're sitting with C.J. Blunt, who leads the worship team at the church. He's helping teach class.
Yeah.
And if it's creative, it's Kellen, and he's helping them learn those things. And then what they do is they go on the weekend, and they do that thing.
That's awesome.
And they do this for 2 or 4 years.
They're not waiting 4 years to put their toes in.
Think about this.
That's awesome.
Think about a teacher. A teacher goes through 4 years of school, sits in the classroom, and then they go for 1 semester and student teach.
Yep.
And that's who's educating our kids.
Yep.
Okay? Not our kids. Somebody else's kids because we homeschool. So, but with Highlands College in the ministry portion, they go and they are in that for 4 years.
Yeah.
Leading worship.
Yeah.
They're communicating. They're working with students. They're doing hospitality. They're doing events. It's incredible. So if you could replicate that for business, for teachers, for what it would do, it would weed people out. And there are some kids that come here that realize this is not what they want to do.
Yeah.
Because ministry is not easy.
Yeah.
You have to be called to it. It's not a thing that you just go do. But this place does as good a job at any higher institution that I've ever seen of preparing kids to go teach the message of Jesus in all the different ways.
Yeah.
It's not just somebody speaking on stage. It's worship. It's hospitality. It's creative. It's the guy behind the freaking camera.
Yeah.
That guy's important, especially this day and age.
Yes.
So I love being here. We provide the food for all of them. I love being here. I love being with the kids and cutting up with them. I can't get to know all of them, but I get to know a lot of them.
Yeah.
So it's a great place. I really love it.
That's awesome.
So.
Yeah.
All right. What else? Anything else? This is going to be dead for a second.
If we were to hit play on your phone or music, CD, whatever, if people still use CDs, what would it be?
I don't have any social media right now.
Okay. Well, then who runs your...
I've got a whole team that does it.
Okay.
So, we can talk about that later. So, I'm off all social media right now. YouTube. I'm not a music guy.
Okay.
I'm not a music guy. I don't love music. I like music, but I don't just like listen to music. I go to the gym. I listen to... I'm a huge My First Million fan.
Okay.
Sam Parr,
Sean,
they're great.
Yeah.
They're wonderful. Obviously, we talk about Cody Sanchez a lot. I listen to everything she does.
Do you listen to Business Made Simple?
No. Who is that? Donald? Man, I like him. I don't love him.
Yeah.
I like him.
He has taught us some things about streamlining and...
messaging and branding and just...
I want to hear stories, y'all.
Yeah.
I want to hear what, you know, Naval did, or I want to hear what... You know, Sam did, or Jesse. I want to hear what I want to hear the stories. This is what I did. This is how I did it, and this is the method I did it in.
Okay.
As opposed to theory.
I mean,
and I don't know Donald Miller.
Yeah. But that is a big difference.
But what business is Donald Miller run? I don't know. He may run. I mean, obviously, he runs a business now. He uses his books, but he's more famous than he is anything.
Yeah.
So I want to know. I want to hear stories. So I that's like kind that. Of that's really my thing.
Yeah.
So I don't mean music guy at all. Okay. Hey, thank you guys so much. This was great. The stories of how y'all came together and what you're doing now and the homeschooling and the painting and all the different things. It's been really great. So where can someone find y'all if they wanted to reach out and have a question or if they wanted to do business with you or anything like that? So where can somebody find you?
With the companies, you go to atworkuniforms.com or libertylinen.com and all that communication comes to me. I'm not really on Facebook. I have an Instagram, but it's for funny dad stuff.
And communicate with me.
Yeah. But the website's probably the quickest way to get to me.
Great. Perfect. Hey, thank you guys so much for joining. This is great.
Thank you.